Some people are very buffed and strong outwardly, but we were talking about Samson, how he had character flaws, didn't he? God wants to make us strong internally, amen? And it's good to be strong externally. In bodily exercise profits little, right? But godliness is good for everything. So we want to be godly, amen? We want to be right with God. And I know that when my heart is right with God, I have a supernatural confidence. And I'm not walking around in fear. The enemy wants to heap the fear on you, you know, so he can control you by it and get you to do things without thinking through, to react rather than to respond. So anyways, thank you for coming again and being with us this morning. I'm going to talk about a subject that doesn't get talked about a lot, and that is the subject of suffering. Patient and suffering is the title of the message. So let's pray together. Father God, I thank you again for the privilege of serving you, of representing you here, Lord, and I know without you I can do nothing. But I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, to enable me to do what I can't do. Lord, I ask you to speak through me today, reach through me, touch through me today, Lord. Open the eyes of our understanding today, Lord. Anoint us to hear and receive. We want to be changed, Lord, so we ask you and we give you permission, Lord. Please come into our hearts and do whatever you need to do in our hearts, Lord. Would you just give him permission right now? Say, Lord, come into my heart. Do whatever you need to do in me, Lord, because I want to be like you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Bless the Lord. So I believe God has called you and I to be a living testimony, a living sacrifice, right? Romans 12, right? To be a testimony, a living testimony to his grace and to his mercy. And the world needs a demonstration or a witness of God's power. But not just in demonstrations of power, such as, you know, miracles and dreams and visions. Those things are all good and important, and they're gifts to the church. But people need to encounter and experience God through the witness of God's people. The world needs to see God's people standing firm, standing strong, really, through everything that's going on. The world needs to see a people who are willing to stick to their values, to their convictions, in the face of opposition and suffering. We have the Lord with us and on our side. And the grace of God is sufficient, is more than enough. One of his names is El Shaddai, amen? The God who is more than enough. So we know that in the Lord we have what we need, but we need to know how to make withdrawals. All right? We know how to receive an anointing, receive of his presence, amen? And the best way to do that is through singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving praise to God, amen, because God does what? He inhabits the praises of his people. Praise is hugely important that we express, amen, through our lips, amen, who God is, who he means to us. And God wants his people to be endued with power. He wants us to be bold. And the only way to really be bold for Jesus, other than being ignorant in our own minds, is by the power of the Holy Spirit that God gives to those who obey him. And Acts 1:8, you know this so well, but you shall receive dunamis, power, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. That word witnesses also means martyrs. Martyrs. And in all Judea, Samaria, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. It also means record. A martyr or a record. You shall be witnesses, martyrs or records. Now, the purpose of God's power is so that you and I can be effective martyrs or witnesses for Jesus. That means that we're already offered up to the Lord. We're ready to be offered up as well. Okay? If it may come down to that. We have to be effective because we are fully committed to him. When you are fully committed to somebody, that means no matter what happens, you're going to be true. All right? If you're fully committed to your husband or to your wife, That means that you're going to endure it. You're going to stick it out. You're going to do what's right, okay? And not because it's easy or comfortable, because there's suffering involved in love. Anybody that's been married can understand that, right? There's times when we have difficulties, even in our own closest relationships, you know? Not just marriage relationships, but relationships in general. Sometimes our relationships will be tested. But when we are fully committed to one another, then we say no matter what, for better or for worse, right? Sickness and in health, till death do we part, we're in this together. We have committed ourselves in covenant to one another. And the power of God, again, enables us to not only speak the truth, to heal the sick, to cast out demons, but to also endure suffering for Christ. Are you hearing me, somebody? To endure suffering for the cause of Christ. When the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, then we are willing to even give ourselves, all right, for Him. It's God's love that will keep you. How many know that God's perfect love casts out all fear? Amen. And God is able to make all grace abound to you. We come to the water and we need to drink. You've heard the old saying, you can lead a horse to water, but right, you can't make him drink. So we need to drink. Amen. When the opportunity is there, and how many know every day God gives us permission to come with confidence before His throne of grace, to call on Him, to cry out to Him, and to pray, amen, and seek His face. And God will give you what you need. And the Lord sometimes will allow us to be uncomfortable in a situation so that we will turn to Him, so that He can empower us and will be a more effective witness for Him. Because if we think that we don't need God, we're deceiving ourselves. And if you think you don't need God, well, life may just offer you something that will cause a little attitude adjustment. And we'll realize, I do need the Lord. And what can you do when everything else that you trusted in, all the earthly things and people maybe that you've trusted in, they're not there to help you? What can you do then? Well, let's turn to the one who can help, amen? To the one who's ever faithful and true, who never leaves us or forsakes us, who has provided for us all that we need that pertains to life and godliness. There are not many messages, guys, about suffering because it's not popular. We don't want to hear about suffering. You know what I'm talking about. We just want to have a smooth and easy, I do too, a smooth and easy life. But that's not the way life is. How many have discovered that already? Amen. You learn that even as a child, life is not easy. But God wants us to know that He will be with us to the end. Through it all, we will learn to trust in the faithfulness of God. We learn to trust in Jesus. We learn to depend upon His word because God is faithful. He doesn't change. He is our solid rock. Amen. He is that foundation that will keep us no matter what happens. God is able to make you stand. God is able to keep you no matter what happens. Talk to Him. Call on Him. Stay near. And the Lord will also give you direction. He'll give you wisdom. He'll give you counsel. He'll show you what to do. When you find your back up against the wall, you don't know what else to do. We'll say, Lord, what are we going to do? What are we going to do together? Amen. As a child of God, we need to have the same attitude that the Lord had. Amen. How many remember Philippians 2:5? How many can quote it? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. This attitude, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. But what did he do in verse 7? He made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant. Not a Christian celebrity, but a bond servant. And coming in the likeness of men. Meaning he was God incarnate, right? The word that became flesh. He came in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and what? Given him the name which is above every name. Hallelujah. Every other name. So Jesus did what? He chose to make himself of no reputation. He was not going to be controlled and manipulated by people's opinions of him. He was not going to go around and please everybody because they pressured him to do something for him. He didn't do parlor tricks for him. He didn't perform miracles because they tried to get him to do it. Amen. He only obeyed the Father. He was true to the Father no matter what he did. Amen. He was going to speak what he heard the Father speak, and he's going to do what he saw the Father do. He became a servant, even to obedience to the death on the cross. For what reason? For the benefit of you and me, for many, to bring many sons to glory. And I believe, guys, it's our responsibility to teach God's people that there is a real possibility that we could suffer and even face death for the cause of Christ. Jesus said in Matthew 10:28, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. But rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." The worst that men can do to us is kill our body. If you're a child of God, amen, and your soul is secure in the Lord, then all they could do is hurt your tent. Amen. But they can't take you, because if you belong to Jesus, he's got you. Amen. Physical death is not the worst thing that can happen to us. Because to be with the Lord, amen, is better to be than to be here even. So the Lord's people should not fear men. That's what Jesus is saying. Do not fear people. But you should be possessed with a reverential fear of God. And I mean possessed by the reverential fear of God. So that the fear of God in you is greater than the fear of man. So that when man tries to pressure you to conform, the fear of God in you keeps you from conforming and bowing down. And you stand like the three in the furnace, amen, who would not bow down to the idol of gold. And they knew that if God didn't deliver them, they still weren't bowing down. Something was happening in them, amen. God was giving them a special grace to be able to endure and stand strong in the midst of great pressure to conform to what the crowd was doing. We should never be crowd followers as God's people, amen. We need to be following the Lord. As individuals, as part of his body, as something bigger than ourselves, but we need to be walking together, working together in harmony with the Lord's will for our lives. And we need to be willing to make a stand, because I've discovered that when I stand for what is true, for what is right, when I stand for Jesus, the Lord stands up in me. And I don't shrink back. Because the Lord is the one who gives you the power to be bold, to be strong. Amen. If you're not strong in the Lord, you're not going to be able to stand. And that's why we're instructed in Ephesians 6 to be strong in the Lord and in the power, dunamis, same word, of his might. All right. That's the only way we're going to stand against the wiles of the devil, the tricks of the devil, the schemings. And man who's pretty slick, amen, at trying to manipulate and control people through fear, peer pressure, political correctness, whatever it might be today. We need to stand. But we need the power of God. We need to draw near to God and receive from him the resources we need, hallelujah, to be strong and to be able to stand in the evil day. The greatest loss of all is the loss of one's soul. That is eternal separation from God. How many know that spiritual death is the greatest loss of all, and it can't be measured? And it should be avoided at all costs. So Jesus says something here. He reminds us of how precious we are to God. Very familiar passage, but often we need to go back and look in the mirror, amen, look at the word and be reminded of what the Lord promised us, amen. Matthew 10:29, he says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin in the market of his day? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. Do not fear, therefore, for you are of more value than many sparrows. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father, who is where? in heaven. Whoever does what? Confesses me before men. Oh, I can't do that. Yes, you can. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. When you're full of the Holy Spirit, you can do anything that God tells you to do. He enables you to do it. He will take away the fear of man. If we're not able to do that, it means that we're weak spiritually and we're neglecting the most important part of our lives, and that's our spiritual life. Come on. We're good at usually taking care of the external things. Some people are especially good at, you know, personal hygiene like me. And you know, you would hope so anyways, right? Or standing in the mirror for hours like some ladies like to do. Putting on the paint. Moving right along. There's nothing wrong with looking presentable to the public, right? But what we need to take most note of is, how is it between your soul and the Lord? Amen. How is it between you and Jesus? Are you really in right standing with the Lord? You know, I feel like many of us have been tested during this time about the fear of death. How many here know what I'm talking about? You've been considering it more and thinking more about all this COVID scare and thinking about, well, what if I die? Am I afraid of what's going to happen? There's nothing wrong with wanting to stay alive, by the way. God wants you here as a living sacrifice, okay? But if God decides to take you home, there's nothing you can do about that. It's just your time. But the fear of death is torment to us, isn't it? And we can be controlled by the fear of death to do things that we ordinarily wouldn't do that might be contrary to our moral values, our personal standards. Are you hearing me, somebody? Because the devil uses that against us. So if you are at perfect peace with God, you've got things right in your heart before the Lord. If you're full of His love, full of His presence, amen. You've forgiven everybody you need to forgive. You've repented of your sins. Your heart is right with God. You have a supernatural confidence that says, if I were to die today, I know without a doubt where I'm going to be. And it's not because I'm good, but because God has been merciful to me, amen, and He's forgiven me. Hallelujah. You can't save yourself, but you call on the Lord. Amen. If you will repent truly from your heart, you will be saved. So the worst people can do to us is kill our body, but they can't kill your soul. And so if we need to confess the Lord, He said what? I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. 33, but whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Yeah. Now, guys, let me just say this. When we do what God tells us to do, when we live the truth, we are going to be controversial. We are going to irritate certain people who don't want the truth. The Word of God itself is a sword, and it's a two-edged sword, and it divides between soul and spirit, bones and marrow, right? It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So the Word of God that we trust and we speak will cause division, all right? Because why is that? Because light and darkness are not compatible. Remember, it was the Lord in the beginning who separated the light from the darkness. All right? So we are children of the light because the light of Christ is in us. Amen. And we are then dispatched into the world to be the what? The salt and the light of the world. And when we live the light and we live the truth, those who reject and don't want the truth are not going to like you. They're going to hate you just like they hated Jesus and crucified Him. The truth will cause division between people, even close people, close friendships, family relations, because light and darkness are not compatible. Amen. But guys, we cannot afford to compromise the truth because it's the only way to deliverance and freedom is the truth. People that water down the truth, people who aren't clear about the truth, are not really helping anybody. Yeah, you may irritate somebody. I'm thankful that God has used people to irritate me with the truth. How about you? It's not always pleasant to hear the truth, but it's good for us. Amen? It's the best kind of medicine. God wants you to be healthy. He wants you to be strong. He wants you to be pure for Him. Listen to what Jesus said in verse 34, Matthew 10:34. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be those of his own household. That's the result of living and speaking truth. But who are we going to serve? We have to make up our mind. We have to choose this day who we will serve and who we will align ourselves with. We know the end of the book. We know who wins. Jesus is Lord. Amen? And He's coming again. Hallelujah. And He's coming for those who are looking for Him. Who are those who are looking for Him? Those who are living, right? For Him. So whenever we confess Jesus before men, our names are confessed in heaven. That's pretty cool. That's a good deal, right? Hallelujah. The Lord says, Father, check out my sons and my daughters. Amen? Check out my people. They're talking about me again. They're sharing me with others again. Ha. Huh. Father says, oh yeah. You know, more love, more power, and a greater anointing. Hallelujah. I believe that, guys, that God will reward faithfulness. If we're willing to do what He's told us to do, even contrary to how we feel and what our flesh wants to do, we have to put our flesh to death, don't we? We have to tell that flesh to shut up and sit down. Amen. Every day. And we have to do what God is telling us to do. And when we step out and we're faithful to do what God has told us to do, then the Lord said, if you're faithful in little, I'll make you ruler of much. You may not see that full package now, but God is saying that you do what I tell you to do. Amen. And then I'll increase the measure of the anointing in your life, and your effectiveness will be greater. You'll bear more fruit. How many think that's a good deal? Amen. Not just because we get rewarded, but because the Father is pleased. When we bear fruit. The Father is delighted when He sees His children living for Him. Amen? But listen, if we deny Him, Jesus will deny us before the Father in heaven. Again, His yoke is easy, His burden is light. Walking with the Lord, living for the Lord is not difficult. Unless you're trying to do it in your own strength. And a lot of times we try to do that. People try to serve the Lord. They get involved even in church things and programs and whatever. And they're working themselves, you know, till they're just weary and burnt out and not even enjoying it anymore. Why? Because somehow they got disconnected from Jesus in the process of all the activity. You know what I'm saying? It's easy to happen as pastors too, isn't it? We can get so busy with stuff. We can lose the joy in the journey and understand this is all about the Lord and walking with Him and enjoying life together with Him, doing life together with Him. And when your heart is in harmony with the Lord, then you desire to do what He desires and you want to tell people about Jesus. How many here would say you're not ashamed to identify with somebody you really love? Amen? And this is my wife over here. Yeah, this is my husband. No. Somebody you really love, you say, yeah, this is my wife, this is my husband. They're awesome. And talk about how awesome our Jesus is. We boast on the Lord, you see. Praise means to make your boast of God before people. If I be lifted up, amen. We lift up the Lord, hallelujah, before others. We can be honest and just say, listen, you know, I don't have to be a theologian. I just need to let you know what God has done in my life. How He's so changed me. I'm not the same person I used to be. And I got to give the credit to the Lord. But what He did for me, He can do for you too. You just need to turn to Him. Call on Him. Trust Him. God is in love with you. He loves you. He loved you before you ever looked for Him, ever called upon Him. He loved you so much that He sent His Son to die. Jesus laid down His life willingly for us. to prove his love for us. Jesus gave us a great promise. I love promises. Because when God makes a promise, he keeps it. He said in Luke 6:22, blessed are you when men hate you. Huh. That's kind of different. You see, a lot of people are living their whole life in bondage to what people think, trying to make everybody like them. Blessed are you when men hate you. And I'm not in any way advocating that we go out looking for a fight or, you know, or persecution. But he said, blessed are you when men hate you and when they exclude you and revile you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy. I had a friend that literally would leap for joy when somebody gave him a hard time for his testimony. So, I say, man, he's really lost it now. But rejoice in that day and leap for joy. For indeed your reward is great in heaven. For in like manner their fathers did to the prophets. The Lord said what? Rejoice. Don't be gloomy. Don't be pessimistic. Don't be, you know, complaining about your situation. If somebody opposes you, because you are a believer, a Christian, then you should rejoice and say, well, it's an evidence that the Spirit of Christ is in me. Amen? That I belong to Jesus. We're not to conform to the pattern of this world, but to be what? Transformed. Metamorphosis, right? He says, your reward is great in heaven. So again, we're not looking for the cause some people, I think, do. They do things that are not wise, and then they think they're being persecuted for Jesus. You know what I'm talking about. Some people that have a lot of zeal but not a lot of wisdom, kind of like me in a lot of ways. But I've had, especially starting out, I loved Jesus, and I wanted to do the right thing, you know, and I was very literal about everything, and I had to learn that the Lord has a way, amen, for me to walk in. And that I had to first really learn how to yoke with him and work and walk together with him. And that's the way you're going to be effective. Instead of working for God, I had to learn to walk with God. And when you're walking with God and you're serving together with the Lord, you will bear fruit. And you will know what to say. You'll even know how to present the truth in a way where people will, if they're someone that God is calling, that they will receive it. Sometimes I think, guys, it's in the way that we present the truth. You never compromise the truth, but it's important that we learn how to fish. Amen? You've got to use the right kind of setup. And God will give you wisdom. You know, I used to snowball people with truth. It's like, you know, the machine gun thing. You know, and they were just like, whoa, you know, and I had to learn how to just drop a seed when they were open and receptive. Pray the Holy Spirit will work on that. Amen. Sometimes people are right there. They're low hanging fruit. They're ready to receive Jesus. Go ahead and let both guns go. Right. But other times God's just wanting you to go out and sow. All right. Just be an example. As you get an opportunity to sow a little seed here. Amen. And God knows how to work things to bring somebody else along later on that'll water that seed. That's me. Yes, people had talked to me. You know, I had some seed, and I had other people come along and water. But the Lord brings the harvest, okay? He's the one that actually draws us and saves us. But he uses the preaching of his word, doesn't he? Okay. Rejoice in the day that you are persecuted because you were standing for the truth, standing up for Jesus. Now, no matter what, I know we don't like to hear this, but we're going to suffer in this world. There's no escaping that. It can't be avoided. But what God does want is for his people to rely upon his grace in the midst of it. All right? Because there is a purpose in suffering. God wants us to be patient in suffering, not complaining. When Israel was in the wilderness, they began to complain. They got impatient in the suffering that they were experiencing. They are in a place they'd never been before. They're eating food they never ate before. And probably the first couple days it was great. But if you're eating the same diet day after day after day, it can become a test. I remember when I went to India and I was eating their food, man. They use a lot of curry and they have some really delicious food, you know. But it's very rich. And I was with a couple other brothers, a couple from Florida there. We were good the first couple days. We're like, man, this is awesome, you know. But then after about 3 days, it was the same rich food, man. And it was starting to mess with our systems. And because, man, we're just not used to eating, you know, food like that. And so we had to be careful because we didn't want to offend the host, you know. But we were very tactful about it and say, hey, you got any peanut butter or sandwiches or any way we can get some American food? But what we didn't do, and you know, is complain, because we knew that, you know, they were doing what the best they could do for us, and we were appreciative of that. But you think about eating this. Have you ever had something? Maybe you made a big pot of something, and it's okay for about a day or two, but after a couple of days, it's like, man, this is getting old. You know, I'm glad we're almost through this. But, you know, they had other, you think about the hot and the cold and the difficulties that would be in the wilderness. And, you know, God was actually testing them in that time. God was not so concerned about how uncomfortable they were. God was watching their reaction and how they would respond to what they were experiencing. Whether they would trust the Lord that he had given them a promise, that it was a temporary thing, that he was taking them into a land of milk and honey, or they were going to get bogged down in the inconvenience and the sufferings of that present time and begin to turn on God, blame God, complain to God. In other words, when we start to complain about our situation, guys, I hate to say this, well, it really means that we're not in faith. That God's got something better up ahead. That God can turn it around. I said this the other night, but you know, the term a silver lining in every cloud, you know. Well, silver is the metal for that represents what? Redemption. And we need to think about this, that no matter what's going on in America, no matter what's going on in your world, look for the silver lining. Look for God in it. Amen. God's going to turn anything around and work all these things together for good. Amen. So we need to be looking for, well, Lord, where are you at in this? You know, God was in the manna. God was in the provision that he made them. He was saying, here, I'm showing you that I'm going to keep you through this. It's not going to be as comfortable as you want, but I'm taking you someplace better. And I want to develop you and strengthen you and mature you and prepare you for what's up ahead. Why? Because what they didn't know is that there were giants in the land. And if they couldn't take a little spilled milk, they weren't going to be able to stand up under that. Amen? God prepares us today through the sufferings, amen, and the little things even. Learn how to be thankful in all things. Not for all things, but in all things. Be thankful. Give God thanks. Thank God we had something to eat today, guys, right? Think about it. We had something to eat. We've got clothes on our back, praise God. We're here. We were able to get out of bed. We're mobile. We're upright. Taking nourishment. Thank Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah. Sometimes I know when we're really sick, you're like, silver lining. The silver lining is getting out of this, right? Getting through this. But there is a provision for God in the midst of your suffering. There is grace available to you in the midst of your suffering that is greater than anything that you're facing, any difficulty you're facing in life. And we're all going to face this. God wants us to be patient, not complaining. 1 Peter 2:18, servants, here's some instruction, be submissive to your masters. All right, today we say employees. All right, submit yourself to your employers with all fear, not only as godly reverence, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable, if because of conscience towards God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it if, when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, here it is, to do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should do what? That you should follow in his steps. We're not to be afraid of suffering. Jesus said, do not fear those who can kill the body. All right? He doesn't want us to be afraid of anything, amen, the enemy's doing. He wants us to only trust him. Commit yourself to a faithful God, amen, who will keep you and help you through it all. Many of you here are nodding your heads because you've been through a lot. You've discovered the faithfulness of God. There's been times when we've been shaken to our core, not knowing what we're going to do, how we're going to get through this. But then God comes in, amen? And he once again, he rescues us. And sometimes we're saying, Lord, I'm sorry, I got impatient. Lord, I'm sorry, I didn't trust you. You see, God is good to us, even when we don't deserve it. Aren't you glad there's a thing called grace? Jesus said this to the church of Smyrna in the book of Revelation, chapter 2, verse 10. He told this early church, he said, do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Jesus said they were not to do what? Fear. They were not to fear any of those things that they would suffer. Now, it talks about 10 days. I'm just going to touch on this because it could be 10 literal days that they would be thrown into prison. It could also be 10 distinct persecutions under the Roman emperor who preceded Constantine, or to the 10 years of persecution under Diocletian. Whatever it was going to be a season, a period of time that they were going to undergo suffering. How many know sometimes the process is long? Sometimes we're hoping for a quick recovery or a quick victory, and you find the process goes on and on. It seems to go on and on. But I've discovered that when the Lord allows that to happen, what he's doing is he's developing in you a greater stability, a strength, an inner strength, and a confident assurance of his faithfulness that will make you stable, and that you will then be in a position to help others who are going through similar things, that you can then minister to them because you have overcome in these areas. Are you hearing me? God is working these things together. He's preparing you for what he has. So the Lord encourages his followers here, this church, to be faithful unto death. That is, be willing to die rather than renounce your faith in the Lord. Because he said there's going to be a crown of life for those who are faithful to the end. God wants you and I in a place where we fully trust him. Fully trust him. He doesn't want us double-minded. He doesn't want divided loyalties. He wants us fully trusting. And when we've been tested, amen, we'll come forth as pure gold. We'll be refined in the fire, but God will have a holy people, a holy church, amen, a bride that is beautiful and prepared for eternity. You see, we are, again, in the dressing room of eternity. God is getting us ready. He's getting us ready. Today is the day to wake up and realize what's going on. Time is short. We have been given a certain window of opportunity to go and bear fruit. To be a martyr means to be a witness, amen, a testimony to the grace of God in this world. God's called us to be living sacrifices, amen. But if it ever came down to it, to where you have to choose between your life and being loyal to the Lord, that's when you have to know your God to such a degree, amen, that you know that you know that you will not deny him. 1 Peter 4:17, "For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to Him in doing good." That means don't quit, don't give up, press on, do what God shows you to do, all right? Don't throw in the towel. Persevere to the end. As to who? A faithful Creator. Entrust your soul to Him. Commit your soul to Him. Give your life to God. Amen? Already, my life belongs to Jesus. I've already stepped over that line. There's no turning back. I have decided. How about you? There's a worldly song. I think it was about in the 80s, late 70s, maybe Billy Joel. "Only the Good Die Young." And, you know, even when I wasn't really living for God, I still thought that was kind of a disturbing attitude he had about life and death. And it was done, of course, in ignorance. He didn't realize what he was really saying because he didn't really believe that there is a heaven and a hell. I'm convinced of that. If people really know the truth, they're changed. They're repentant. There's a godly reverence. Amen. There's the fear of God that will, you wouldn't dare say anything of that nature. God humbles us. He has a way of humbling us. But he used to say in that song, "Only the Good Die Young," "I'd rather laugh with the sinners than cry with the saints. The sinners are much more fun." Well, what a foolish thing to believe. The truth is, right now, God is purifying His people. God is shaking things up. God's going to have a people, amen, that are pure, that are committed, that are on fire for Him, amen, that are destroying the works of the devil, that are not afraid of the boogeyman, that are taking a stand for Jesus in this hour, and are going to speak the truth in love. Amen. They're going to walk with God through this. Hallelujah. And there are those who are right now in a place where they don't know where else to go, where else to turn, who else to trust. We have the answer, don't we? God's preparing us for eternity. But the rebellious and the unrepentant, they will die and go before the great white throne judgment seat of Almighty God. And they will have no covering for their sins. People who die, amen, without the covering of the blood of Jesus Christ and the garments of His righteousness will be confined to and consigned really to an eternal devil's hell where there is no escape. But God in His mercy is extending His grace right now to whoever will. If they will call on Him, they will repent of their sins, then they will find mercy. Revelation 20:15 says, "And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Only the redeemed will be able to stand in the judgment." That is, again, those who are clothed in the righteousness that God provides, clothed in Christ, amen, and whose garments are washed in the blood of the Lamb, the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's through the blood and through the anointing and through the presence of God that we are qualified to be in His presence. So what is God doing? God is preparing you. God is preparing me to be a witness in conduct and in speech. In our conduct, 1 Peter 4:1, "Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God." How is God preparing us? Not only in our conduct, but in our words. Amen. Jesus said in Mark 16:15, and he said, "Go into all the world and what? Preach the gospel to every creature." That word "preach" means herald. Hear ye, hear ye. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Why? Because a person who refuses the love of the truth is already condemned. But the Lord came to seek and to save that which was lost. The Lord is not willing that anyone should perish. So here's Paul's instruction. I'm finishing with this, okay? To Timothy. Are you ready for this? 1 Timothy 6:12. This is what he said. Fight. Turn to your neighbor and say, fight. The good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. You can't be passive in this battle, amen? We're in a war, a spiritual war, and you can't be passive. You can't be neutral. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many, what's that word? Witnesses, martyrs. When welfare, social security, bank accounts, employment, food supplies, and health are gone, many people will then look to the only hope that will surely endure. And who is that? Our Lord, right? Our Lord Jesus Christ. And when people see the church standing strong, even when all else has failed, many will cry out to God for his deliverance. And those who stand firm and endure the trials of their faith will come forth as pure gold, and we will receive the crown of life. Be faithful unto death if necessary. God will grant you, amen, the crown of life. And God will here and now enable you to stand as you seek his face, as you come and you knock, amen. He said the door will be opened. Hallelujah. Amen. You got to get on your face before God. You got to cry out to him until you hear and know his voice. Amen. And God will begin to speak to you. God will begin to give you wisdom and direction. He'll show you what you've been called to do. And you'll have a desire to do it too. Why? Because God works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Hallelujah. So James 5:7 says, therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Habakkuk, one of my favorite verses, 3:17. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Hallelujah.